You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, February 3rd, 2025. Grandpa Dan streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com. I'm glad to be here. I mean that. Last week was tough. I had a pretty good run-in with this latest version of the flu that's going around. And let me tell you, it was no fun. I don't remember being that sick in years, and it was just rough. But I am on the mend now. But if I do sound a little off, that's the reason why I'm kind of still kicking the lasso bits of it about. I am pretty much over it for the most part. Thank goodness. What is Monday? And so I've got a wide variety of topics here from the Daily Mail to get through today. So to get our work week started off, our first story is New York Magazine blasted for claiming helicopter pilots who died in DC plane crash were clearly at fault. Now, this story, of course, relating to the mid-air collision in Washington, D.C., something that I've actually been paying quite close attention to and delving into the details with this sort of thing I am actually interested in. So as a result, I know where knowledgeable sources are and things such as this. And I've got a pretty good grasp on something like this. I'm not an expert, but I'm more of an expert than the idiots that write articles like this in the media, and I do mean that. So this story is let's just read our little bit from the story and we'll get into that. New York Magazine has been slammed over an article that rushed to blame the military pilots for the American Airlines plane crash tragedy in D.C. The magazine published the piece titled "The D.C. Plane Crash is No Mystery" on January 31st, barely 48 hours after the air collision left 67 dead. It read, "A lot is unknown, but one basic fact is not. The helicopter pilot is at fault." Officials are yet to confirm which of the three military personnel on board was actually flying the Black Hawk when it collided with the regional American Airlines jet. The investigation remains ongoing, with new information emerging daily about what could have gone wrong. Still, aviation journalist Jeff Wise cast the blame on an unnamed Army pilot, writing, "It was quite clearly the Army Black Hawk helicopter that was not where it was supposed to be. While it may be the case that the tower was not properly staffed or that the airport's resources are chronically overtaxed, neither of these things played a role in the crash that took 67 passengers and crew." Ironically, Wise started the piece by writing, "When air accidents happen, it's important not to rush to judgment." Now, to stop here for just a minute, because, you know, probably there's very few people in the world that hate the media and journalists more than I do, without exception. And yet, we have a journalist in this story writing for the Daily Mail, this Germania Rodriguez Poleo, writing about another journalist writing for the New York Magazine, Jeff Wise, and essentially attacking them for speaking the truth. No, I mean, I've been saying this since around the same time, after the most basic elements of this crash came forward. I mean, you have these two aircraft that met in the same airspace at the same time. One of them was where it was supposed to be. The other one was not. I mean, that is just an undeniable fact. And what this journalist in the New York Magazine wrote is absolutely true. The helicopter was not where it was supposed to be. End of story. The rest of the media keeps trying to turn this into some sort of drama and drag it out and milk it for more of a story and keep the story going and, you know, create this drama around it, like where they're going to piece together these clues. There's no clues. The regional jet was where it was supposed to be. The helicopter was not. That's why they met in the same airspace at the same time. Now, as to why they weren't where they were supposed to be, it's going to be conjecture. Why? Because everybody's dead. They're all dead. There ain't nobody going to tell. They ain't going to be able to get the pilots out of the helicopter and ask them, what the hell were you thinking? You know, I mean, that's the reality. These people running around trying to blame this and that and say, oh, well it's whatever. No, that's BS. You know, one aircraft was where it was supposed to be. The other one is not. The helicopter was the one it was not. Now, the person writing this story, I'm assuming from their name, I guess could be wrong, but it's a woman. So, of course, they're going to the experts, namely Instagram. I kid you not, you can't make this crap up. Instagram users took to the comments section. That's who you're appealing to. These are the people, remember, that are always telling us, you know, listen to the experts. Well, yeah, the experts are all saying the same thing I just said, and the same thing that this guy writing for New York Magazine said. You know, the helicopter wasn't where it was supposed to be. I mean, the rest of the stuff you could talk about, sure. Could air traffic control have handled things a little differently? Sure. But it doesn't change the fact that the helicopter was not where it was supposed to be. If they would have been where they were supposed to be, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. That's what the experts say. Isn't it always funny how the media picks and chooses when to trust the experts and when not to? When to listen to the experts and when to reference Instagram users. Instagram users took to the comments sections to shame the magazine for its early condemning of the Army pilots who had been identified as Chief Warrant Officer II Andrew Lloyd Eaves, 39, and Captain Rebecca M. Lobach, 28. One person wrote, "Not just one person is at fault. Do your research. This is a system with broken safety nets due to overworked employees and stingy staffing." We'll stop there. That's all you need to know. and the woman pilot, you know, this is a training flight. She had 500 hours. 500 hours to be doing this training mission where they were and when they were. No. That is just crazy. And you know, her time, she spent most of her time, from what I've read, working at the Biden White House. That's what I have read. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it because, you know, I don't know. That is just what you can read anything on the internet. But the 500-hour part to be doing a complicated mission like this, no. In this real-world traffic, you know, simulate the conditions and do it out, you know, in the sticks somewhere. But in this sort of traffic, no, that's crazy. And, you know, you had three people on the helicopter. To lose situational awareness like that, to that level, to where you have an accident of this scale, you know, I mean, there was an altitude cap. You're not supposed to be up to above 200 feet. They were. And they didn't keep up with it. And people try and turn around and blame air traffic control and, you know, I mean, again, yeah, they could have, you know, they could have done things different. You can always look at things in hindsight and say they could have done something different. When air traffic control asked the regional jet if they could go ahead and do the circle to land on 3-3 instead of their, at that time, straight in approach to runway 1, if they had declined and said, no, unable, we need runway 1, then the accident would have never happened. I mean, there's no end to it. The reality is, the helicopter was not where it was supposed to be. Now, I'm not going to get into that anymore because spoiler alert, I will get into that more on tomorrow's installment of the Parish of the Patriots. But this just got me. The reason I picked this story was because they criticized this other publication for stating the obvious truth, which is just a rare occurrence for the media to ever speak the actual truth on something. And you wind up with an article in the New Yorker stating an obvious truth. And then this Daily Mail garbage article goes and counters the truth with comments from Instagram followers. This is why nobody takes the media. I always laugh when the media, because they have these Sunday shows, which I do not watch, but I know they exist. And whenever you see, you can't help but come across, you know, snippets. Like if you scroll through YouTube, they try to, you know, oh, look at this. Look what so-and-so said on these Sunday shows. Look, I know what the Sunday shows are about. It's 90% journalists sitting around yanking each other off, you know? They sit around asking, talking to each other, LARPing as though they know what the hell they're talking about. And they don't. Everybody knows they don't. I always like how they sit around and talk to one another like they're so important. So, oh my gosh, yes, what we're saying here is so important. And yet they have to know in the back of their minds that these polls exist that show that the public at large loathe them. Nobody trusts them. Nobody really listens to them. Nobody has this grand view of them that they themselves hold in their own minds. They sit around and LARP like they're so important. What are you going to do when you're a journalist? Our next story. Our next story. I live with a disorder that means I have 25 personalities and we all have different names and ages. Ren is in a constant battle with themselves and their three other personalities. The 19-year-old college student who uses the pronouns they, them, is one of just 1.5% of people living with a rare psychiatric disorder called dissociative identity disorder. For people with this condition, previously called multiple personality disorder, life revolves around balancing their multitude and distinct personalities. When confronted with a flashback of a traumatic event, it doesn't say event here, it says even. Because again, they don't have editorial staff apparently at the Daily Mail. Ren goes limp. Sometimes there's a headache or tingles up their back, and then there is the switch, and Ren becomes another person. Ren doesn't remember any of their time as the other personality, known as an alter, and they experience amnesia, losing minutes or hours of their life. I'm not sure who's more nuts here, Ren or the person writing this who does this whole they thing constantly through the article. They told Daily Mail, whenever I feel like I'm about to switch, I get very afraid and I don't know why. Well, I'm going to tell you why, Ren. Because the demons are taking over. Back in my day, we called that demon possession. Now, I'm kind of making a joke, but I'm kind of not. Because just a matter of perspective, shall we say. Hear me out here. You could read the whole article if you want to. I'm not. Well, I skimmed it to see, you know, to pick out what parts to do. You can read the whole article and get a bunch of, you know, psychoanalysis about why this occurs and the meaning. And there's actually nothing backing any of that up. In other words, if I say, you know, this person's demon possessed and has multiple demons inside of them, do I have anything to prove that? I have absolutely no proof of that. When Dr. Psychiatric Expert here does this whole babbling thing about the mind, the brain creates these different personalities to shield themselves from traumatic, they don't have any proof of that either. They pulled that out of their ass. There ain't no proof of that. Where's the proof? Show us the diagram of how the brain operates that you can prove that this is a physical thing. The brain, they don't have that. They have just as much proof that the brain is doing this to protect us. They have just as much proof of that as I've got proof to say they're demon possessed. And I think my demon possession accusation has probably a lot more weight to it. But they laugh at you. They'll sit here and say, oh, you don't have any proof for that. But they don't have any either. They act like, because somebody has a PhD by their name, they act like they have something. Well, show me the proof. Well, you see, they'll just reference some kind of psychiatric literature wrote by somebody who also did not have any proof. It's kind of going back to what we were just talking about. It's like when the media sit around and talk to each other and reaffirm each other's position, but none of them have any idea what the hell they're talking about. No matter of perspective. You know, it's like one of the ways I illustrate perspective is if you took somebody like who's a, say an atheist, and you said, "Now, what if aliens are actually interdimensional beings that have a way of periodically, transgressing into our dimension of existence and sometimes interacting with us, what if life on Earth, is actually a genetic experiment conducted out, I'll spit it out here in a minute, by these interdimensional alien beings." And they would say, "Oh my gosh, that could be true. Hey, it's possible." And then if you said, "Well, I just essentially in a bunch of different words describe more or less what's in the Bible, just using, a bunch of silly nonsense about, this sounds palpable to people like this." It's all perspective. If you say the same thing, only you use terms like God, the devil, angels, and demons, they're like, "Oh, you're crazy. You listen to the fairy tales." But if you dress it up as interdimensional beings doing a genetic experiment, on life on Earth and sometimes, transgressing into our dimension of existence, then they'll, "Oh, yeah, man. Could be totally real." It's about perspective. You can call this all this psychobabble. We can call it demon possession. There's just as much proof for one or the other. Next up, we have a government-backed article. "He claimed without evidence." This is a government-sponsored article. How do you know, GPD? How do you know this is a government-sponsored article? Well, for one thing, because it's written by somebody named Kim Komando, and ain't nobody in hell have a real name like Kim Komando. What kind of shit is that? And second of all, it's basically the talking points that I'm seeing government people put out. "I spent the day using DeepSeek. Here are the shocking things I learned about China's AI. AI bot is shocking. Prepare to be shocked. DeepSeek, the blockbuster AI chatbot from communist China." See, that's how you know this is another dead giveaway. This is a government-backed article. They have to make it a point to tell you it's communist China. Maybe it's not technically government backed. I'm sure it is. Maybe Kim Komando is one of those, what are those people that Falun Gong or whatever, that weird cult bunch out of Taiwan that I probably just antagonized the hell out of. I don't give a shit. I've antagonized so many people anyway. "From communist China. In case you didn't know that China is not a part of our democracy values of who we are, we have Kim Komando here to remind you. Caused a panic when it launched Monday, triggering the U.S. stock market to hemorrhage $1 trillion. Well, hemorrhaged $1 trillion just because you had this in-your-face reminder that all of these stocks are ridiculously overvalued. Literally every single one of them is not driven. Their prices have absolutely no relationship with reality, with what the company is actually doing. And once in a while, the people get a reminder of that and they go, "Oh, shit, I could lose all my money. Maybe I should sell now while it's high." Takes a while for the illusion to kick back in and people calm back down. "I spent the day asking the chatbot questions, hoping to get an idea of the hype. And while some of its answers were correct, such as 95% of global internet traffic flows through undersea cable, again, the lack of editorial staff. Do the writers themselves even proofread their own work? Do they? Because apparently not. I mean, when I do one of these shows, I write these, the little intro that none of y'all read, and I don't blame you. I'm not criticizing you. I wouldn't read that shit either. You know it's going to be good. It's on radio album. It's going to be good. But when I do write these little introductions, figuring none of y'all going to read that shit, I still proofread it probably multiple times, criticizing my own sentence structure, my punctuation. I laugh because, you know, the word processor has a little crappy AI built into it, and it'll sit there and flag stuff, you know, for punctuation. And I'll go, well, I could be wrong. And I'll bring it up, and it's some ridiculous shit like trying to put a comma before but. Just get the hell out of here. My third grade English teacher would have slapped you out of your AI bot looking shoes. Anyway, where are we at here? Yeah, I proofread it. These people write these articles and then, you know, yeah. I also watched in real time as it removed answers or flat out refused to talk about Tiananmen Square. No, no, you didn't. Stop. Just stop. This was floating around on the internet. People making this claim. People were floating around. It was debunked. You know, days ago. Again, another dead giveaway. This is a government funded article. And who gives a shit? I mean, really. And maybe it did answer Tiananmen Square. Maybe what actually happened is it gave a truthful answer about Tiananmen Square. And that runs counter to the narrative. And so you were like, oh, see, it's disinformation. The chatbot divulged details about how China employs hacking groups to steal Americans' data and gain access to our sensitive system. So on the one hand, it censors itself about the Chinese government. It censors itself about Tiananmen Square. But then it turns around and divulges details about how China's hacking and getting all of our information. So is the chatbot brilliant? Is the chatbot just, is there actually what? Employees of the Chinese government sitting there giving you answers? It's not really a chatbot. What are they saying? Oh, and here's another. And the sentence for a paragraph starts off with, but. I hated school when I was a kid. But, you know, I had teachers that cared about their jobs, you know, and at the time as a kid, I didn't think it had any relevance. I'm going off on a tangent in case you didn't notice. I'm actually returning to a tangent like the meme of the skeleton climbing out of the coffin when you're about to let it rest. And it's like, you know what? There's one more thing. You know what? They start a short paragraph off. Now, a single sentence paragraph. They wrote in a internationally published article a single sentence paragraph, and if that ain't enough, they start their single sentence paragraph off with the word "but." Any number of my elementary school English teachers would have slapped the shit out of me if I turned in an essay like that. But it told me I was asking too many questions when I inquired about Mao Zedong, the former chairman of the Chinese Communist Party, and his death. What do you mean? Anyway. In my tests, by the way, what I'm about to read right now, this too is its own paragraph in the article. In my tests, DeepSeek was impressive. It's fast, smart, and beats ChatGPT in most prompts I've tried. So it's good. Okay. But by the way, that was a paragraph by itself. Here's another paragraph by itself. It had so much to say about China's beauty, bullet trains, and tech prowess. That was a sentence by itself and a paragraph by itself. You should have asked DeepSeek to write to write the freaking article for you. It would have been better than this shit. But when I inquired about Taiwan, DeepSeek said, it's always been a part of China. Ooh, how brave of you. Great. Now ask American AI about Jews. No, I mean that. To sit here and criticize the Chinese AI for its response about Taiwan. By the way, my understanding is Taiwan itself always had a one China policy. They just claimed they were the rightful government. So it's not incorrect. Taiwan China's position has traditionally always been the one China policy, too. They just say that they're the actual government instead of, you know, the government in China. But to sit here and act like, well, you see, here's the problem, is it, what they're implying here. I'll get to the heart of what I meant by what I was saying just a few minutes ago. The implication that the writer here is attempting to make, without actually saying it, they're using a lot of words, but what they're implying here is the chatbot, the AI out of China, is designed to self-censor itself when it comes to topics that the Chinese government doesn't like. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. I don't give a shit. But they're trying to imply that this is what happens. This is why it's not all up to snuff. Because unlike American AI, it's self-censoring itself. Yeah, on one hand, it'll give you some good answers. But on another hand, if it's subjects that the Chinese government doesn't like, it's not going to give you complete answers. Again, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I doubt that it is. I think it probably circles back to problems with these AI chatbots on a fundamental level, but I'm going to leave that off the table. But the writer here is going to make this implication that the big problem with this Chinese AI is it's not going to give you truthful answers if it runs contrary to what the Chinese government wants. But it all, so the implication being you're better off using the American AI, ChatGPT, or whatever the hell else. But again, ask the American AI about Jews, you know, about the mathematical possibilities of the Holocaust or something like that. And I guarantee you are going to see a canned response come in to tell you, you know, people have screenshotted where it's like, I can't discuss this, or this can't be, you know, it basically goes into a loop algorithm or something to keep you from discussing it. So you're going to make this implication that this Chinese chatbot is just going to give you Chinese government approved answers, unlike the American one, which it's always projection, doesn't it? You know, it always comes down to projection. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm sure there is a certain, look, there's going to be a certain level of censorship. It is what it is. But to sit here and project it onto the Chinese, I am quite confident there's far more censorship here in the West, in the U.S., and then in the West in general, than there is in China. I just honestly believe that. And to sit there and project it on here and talk about, oh my gosh, you see, you can't even ask it about Tibet. Come on now. I for one, think AI is overhyped. I really do. I see these people and they'll get off in the woods on this AI thing. And, you know, I could be wrong. I'm first one to say I could be wrong about stuff. I mean, I remember back in the day when the internet first come out. Hell, when you first started hearing about, check out our website on the World Wide Web, www. And I was one of them people like, man, this is overhyped, man. This people still going to be going to the store with your World Wide Web. What you going to do with that? This internet thing is a fad. I kind of missed that. But I kind of missed that, okay? I admit it. But no, I do. I think this AI thing is way overhyped. Because you got people getting way out there talking about they're going to become sentient. And the AI is thinking for itself. And it's coming up with its own ideas. It's just a language program. It just gathers up all this crap on the internet and then tries to sort it and put it together in a manner where it can regurgitate it back to you in language like a regular person would talk. And people hear it in a regular language like a person would talk, and they're like, oh my gosh, it's human. No, it's not. It's just regurgitating. It's regurgitating it back to you. It's just a program. That's all it's ever going to be. I'm sorry. It is. I mean, it might could get better at organizing the information, but the American one won't. The Western one won't because of the censorship. You know, I search engines are broken. This is something I circle back to a lot because I get frustrated about it on a probably near daily basis. As I was just talking about back when the internet first came out, you know, I guarantee you the search engines we had around the year 2000 were 1 million times better than the shit we have now. It is. They're broken. They are absolutely broken. They don't work anymore because they've censored them so much and tinkered with them so much. They're broken. And that's going to always be the problem with Western AI programs because they're going to censor them. They don't want you asking it. Look, these guys, yeah, I heard this argument about, you know, it wasn't mathematically possible for 6 million bodies to disappear in the Holocaust. They're going to go ask the AI how long it would take to cremate that many bodies. They can't have the AI giving a truthful answer because it runs counter to the approved narrative. So they censor that out, but it breaks it in other areas. It's not going to be just about that. It's going to get reflected elsewhere. That's why our search engines don't work now. No matter what you're asking them, you don't have to even be asking them anything controversial. You know, I usually am not searching for something controversial because I already know the controversial stuff. I'm searching for something normal, you know. And instead, I get all these answers about something I'm not even asking about. Why? Because the search engines are broken, and they regurgitate because of the censorship. They're broken. And so they regurgitate just random crap all over you that you're not even looking for. It has nothing to do with what you're looking. And y'all know what I'm talking about? When it does that to you and you go back up because you're like, maybe I mistyped the search terms. Maybe that's what I did. I fat fingered, especially if you're doing it on your phone, because it's easy to screw it up on your phone. And you're like, I must have searched this wrong. Go back to the top. And it's like, you look at your keywords you put in and then you're looking at the results. It's like, there's no relationship here. One doesn't have anything to do with the other. And they just vomited this all over me. That's going to be always the pitfall with the Western AI. Just think of it as a verbal search engine. That's going to more or less, my take. Again, I'm no expert. That's always going to be the pitfalls with Western AI is the censorship. You know, if you just think of this AI thing as basically a form of a computer program that can just talk the answers at you. But it's basically no different than a search engine. Google, DuckDuck, Yahoo, whatever the hell else, it doesn't work because none of them work worth a shit. None of them work worth a damn. It doesn't matter which one you choose. None of them work. You can think of it the same way. That's all it is. It ain't sentient. It ain't going to start thinking for itself. It's not going to start making Terminator robots, which might actually be kind of cool if it did. But it's not going to do that. Skynet is not going to become sentient. And this Western AI is always because part of the mechanisms by which they rule over us, because we illegitimately ruled over, relies on lies. And there's so many of them that any of this information, be it search engines or this AI, is always going to be crippled because it's not going to be able to run counter to these lies. You know, a story like this, you know, oh, I asked it about Tiananmen Square. This is all pure projection. I don't know how the Chinese AI bot were. I don't know. I don't care. But I do know that that is projection. Anyway, we're going to wrap up, I guess, on that note. I don't know. It seemed like I should have something else funny and or profound to say about it. But I'm out of funny and profound, and we're out of time. Hey, I hope you have a great week. I will be back with tomorrow's Parish of the Patriots program. I recorded that over the weekend. And so I hope you'll come back tomorrow and tune in for that. It'll be good. I think it'll be good. I still, over the weekend, I was a little more under the weather than I am today. But I think it still came out all right. Anyway, it's ready to go. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here Wednesday for his Orthodox Nationalist program. Look forward to it. I've already had a good sneak peek getting it ready, posted up. So you're going to want to for sure check that out. And Dr. Johnson will be here Thursday for his usually geopolitically centered daily nationalist program as well. Anyway, so look forward to all of that. I hope you have a great week. Keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.